Thank you very much. Good morning. Yes, this is a wonderful picture of northeastern Ohio. I feel lucky to be working in this area and get to see beautiful countryside like this. Almost, well, this is kind of a rare occurrence, but when we do get one like this, it's pretty amazing. So the title of my talk today is Developing Soil Tests to Predict Nitrogen Availability to Corn Grown in Ohio. My name is Anthony Fulford. I'm a postdoctoral researcher at Ohio State University. And before I get started, I'd like to just take a quick second to recognize my co-authors, Steve Coleman, Tinsisa Hariso, Peter Thomason, Greg LaBarge, and Harold Waters for their contribution to this research I'm presenting today. So nitrogen is notoriously difficult to manage in agricultural systems, and one reason is because nitrogen inputs, the nitrogen inputs that we do have somewhat partial control over are subjected to numerous different loss pathways. So when we apply that fertilizer nitrogen, it can be lost from volatilization, denitrification, leaching, etc. And adding to this difficulty and complexity with managing nitrogen is that the tools that we use to manage these inputs, namely soil nitrogen test methods, are limited by their spatial and temporal variability. So for example, the major soil nitrogen pools that we target for testing, namely inorganic nitrogen, organic nitrogen, and total nitrogen, all kind of express differences in both spatial and temporal variability. So for example, inorganic nitrogen we know is readily available, but it's also can be easily lost from that system. So it's very sensitive to management practices, but it's also very unstable in terms of concentration over time. Now with organic nitrogen, this pool of nitrogen requires mineralization before it becomes readily available for that plant uptake, and so it tends to exhibit greater stability over time. However, it is still sensitive to our management practices. And with total nitrogen, this is a pool of nitrogen that when we quantify, we're also quantifying recalcitrant or non-labile forms of nitrogen. So it's very stable over time, but it's also not very sensitive to our differences in management practice. So when it comes to predicting soil nitrogen availability, we know that inorganic nitrogen suffers from this great degree of temporal variability. And so when we look at organic nitrogen, it exhibits greater temporal stability and management sensitivity, and as such could be a good pool to target for our nitrogen test methods. So when we think about developing organic nitrogen soil test method, we're thinking about these different pools of soil organic matter and how that relates to nitrogen availability. So when we think of the soil organic matter pool, we usually break it up into these three kind of conceptual pools of a passive, a slow, and an active pool. Now you can see the passive and the slow pools account for the majority of that soil organic matter, but both the passive and the slow pools have kind of chemically or physically protected nutrients, which limits their turnover time. And so turnover time in these passive and slow pools can range from years to decades to centuries. However, this small slice down here at the bottom, the active organic matter pool, nutrients kind of cycle within this pool within a much shorter time frame, from days to years. And this is where a lot of the microbial biomass and biological activity are occurring. So it could be within this active organic matter pool that we could target for our organic nitrogen soil test methods. And we really want to find out, is it within this active organic matter pool, is there a robust as well as commercially viable indicator of nitrogen availability? So the three active organic matter soil test methods that we're interested in evaluating that can begin to quantify this active organic matter pool are permanganate oxidizable carbon, or POXC, mineralizable carbon, or 24-hour respiration, and protein nitrogen. So this permanganate oxidizable carbon, this is a biologically active pool of soil organic carbon. This is a fraction with a low carbon to nitrogen ratio, so it's a nitrogen-rich material, and is also can serve as a mineralizable carbon source. And previous research that we have done has shown that this pool of active organic matter is sensitive to these changes in management practice. Now with the mineralizable carbon pool, this is also a pool of labile soil organic carbon. It's correlated to microbial biomass carbon, particulate organic matter, and has been shown to correlate to nutrient release from mineralization. And this again is another soil test method that previous research has shown that can be indicative of our different soil management practices. Now with protein nitrogen, we know protein nitrogen is contained in the above ground plant biomass and plant tissue cells. And when this above ground biomass is incorporated into the soil, it becomes part of that soil organic matter. So that protein nitrogen is within and associated with the soil organic matter fraction. And this protein nitrogen is of course a nitrogen substrate that can be utilized for mineralization. And we believe this soil test method could also provide a potential indicator of soil management practices. And in addition to all three of these methods being kind of a rapid assessment of this active soil organic matter pool, all three of these methods have recently been incorporated into the Cornell Soil Health Manual, which kind of indicates that all three of these methods could be a viable kind of routine soil health measurement component. So our research question was really to see if these rapid measurements of active soil organic matter reflect soil nitrogen availability to corn grown in Ohio. So to address this research question, we established nitrogen fertilizer rate trials on farms from across Ohio. And this on-farm research was done in conjunction with ongoing projects to revise the state fertilizer rate recommendations. And with this project, we're working directly with farmers, crop consultants, and extension educators in order to establish these trials. And at each of these locations, we're using the cooperators' chosen management practices in terms of tillage, cover crops, rotations, etc., in order to facilitate their incorporation of these trials on their farms. Now each of these trials had a range of fertilizer nitrogen rates ranging from 0 to 280 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and each of these nitrogen rate treatments was replicated either 3 or 4 times. Now the objective of this study, kind of the more specific objective, was to evaluate corn response to fertilizer nitrogen and examine these active soil organic matter tests as indicators of corn productivity and soil nitrogen availability. So from each of these fertilizer rate trials, the data that we collected was we went out and took a soil sample prior to the main fertilization, or prior to any of the nitrogen fertilizer events. We went ahead and took R1 tissue sampling at silking, and at the end of the season, we collected corn stalk nitrate, grain nutrients for grain nitrogen concentration, and we took harvest yield. And for each of these trials, we also have corresponding management information. So when it comes to examining that second objective, looking at these active soil organic matter tests, namely epoxy, mineralizable carbon, and protein nitrogen, and how that relates to soil nitrogen availability, we wanted to quantify potentially mineralizable nitrogen using a 7-day anaerobic incubation, and then examine the relationship between those active soil organic matter tests and the amount of nitrogen that was mineralized from that 7-day anaerobic incubation. And this was this was really to get after if these active soil organic matter tests could provide an indicator of soil nitrogen availability using the potentially mineralizable nitrogen relationship. And from the larger fertilizer rate trials, we wanted to examine if those active soil organic matter tests can provide an indicator of corn productivity with its relationship to the unfertilized grain yield. So here's an overview of the trials we conducted in 2015 and 2016. We had nitrogen rate trials occurring in 13 counties across the state of Ohio. Again, they were all located on the cooperating producer's farm. We had a mix of large-scale strip trials and small plot trials, and the way that broke down is we had a total of 28 of these large-scale strip trials for the on-farm research, and we also conducted 4 small plot trials, but they all occurred on-farm. So in 2015, we had 10 trials total, and in 2016, we had 22 trials total. But not all of these trials had a zero nitrogen fertilizer rate included. In 2015, we had 7 trials that included a zero nitrogen fertilizer rate. And in 2016, we had 11 trials that included a zero nitrogen fertilizer rate. So here is the grain yield response to nitrogen fertilizer rate that we achieved in 2015 and 2016. In 2015, as shown in the red curve there, and 2016 is shown in that bluish aqua colored curve. Corn grain yield is on that y-axis, and the fertilizer nitrogen rate is along the x-axis there. And what we can see in 2015 especially is that there are very few trials where we looks like we topped out our nitrogen topped out our corn grain yield. in a lot of those cases, even our highest nitrogen fertilizer rate of 280 kilograms per hectare, we still didn't get that top yield. But in 2016, it looks like we did see quite a few sites that we reached that plateau well before that 280 kilogram nitrogen per hectare rate. So this graph is showing the corn ear leaf nitrogen and grain nitrogen concentrations in 2015 and 2016. The panel on the left here is showing the ear leaf nitrogen concentrations in 2015 and 2016, and the right panel is showing the corn grain nitrogen concentrations in 2015 and 2016 in relationship to the fertilizer nitrogen rate along the x-axis. And what we can see in 2015, and I should point out that these two horizontal lines are the current sufficiency concentrations for nitrogen tissue in the corn grain and the corn ear leaf tissue, and I should point out in 2015, we, despite our highest nitrogen fertilizer rates there, we really never bumped that corn ear leaf nitrogen concentration above or within that current sufficiency concentration. And in 2016, however, we did get, even at one of our lowest nitrogen rates, we got the corn ear leaf nitrogen concentration within that current sufficiency guideline. So there are drastic differences between years here. In 2015, the same similar story with corn grain nitrogen concentration. 2015, noticeably lower concentrations in the grain. So here's the relationship between corn ear leaf nitrogen and grain nitrogen concentration as it relates to corn grain yield. ear leaf nitrogen concentrations on the left-hand panel and grain nitrogen concentration on the right. And we can see for the ear leaf nitrogen concentration, generally higher yield levels in 2016 compared to 2015 with equal kind of predictive relationship between years. So here's a relationship between soil protein nitrogen, poxy, and respiration as indicators of nitrogen mineralization as determined by that anaerobic nitrogen incubation. And what we have here is anaerobic nitrogen mineralization on the y-axis and protein, poxy, and respiration along the x-axis. And so we have a range of R-squared values here in terms of their ability to predict that nitrogen that's mineralized over that 7-day period. All significant but fairly weak correlations or regression relationships right now. And this is across all trials. And poxy appears to stick out with a little bit better predictive ability. So here's how soil protein, epoxy, and respiration related as indicators of unfertilized corn grain yield. Again, protein, epoxy, and respiration are along the x-axis, and the unfertilized corn grain yield along the y-axis. Significant but weak correlations between the amount of protein, nitrogen, and unfertilized grain yield, and epoxy and unfertilized corn grain yield, but with respiration, we did not see any significant relationship there. Sure. And so here, real quick, is the how protein, epoxy, and respiration related to the agronomically optimal nitrogen rate. We might expect that as the soil test values are increasing, our AONR is decreasing. However, we did not see that with any of these methods. So in conclusion, providing some conclusions and next steps, obviously a different year, we got a different response to nitrogen fertilizer. The tissue nitrogen, grain nitrogen, and yield tended to be greater in 2016 compared to 2015. And we know that weather is a driving factor in a lot of nitrogen response, especially the nitrogen responses we're seeing here. So without taking that weather effect into consideration, is there a single potentially best indicator of nitrogen availability? That will be yet to be seen. But going forward in 2017, we're going to have 12 additional fertilizer rate trials to include in this data set and hopefully piece out some of these driving factors. And so moving forward with evaluating the soil test methods, we want to look at their relationship, protein, epoxy, and respiration in relation to these long-term aerobic incubations and possibly combine some of these indicators to see if we can get a more refined prediction of nitrogen availability. Thank you very much. If there is any time, I'll take questions.
Thank you.